Hare Krishna. This is the second emission of Lord Krishna's transcendental Damodar pastimes. We remember how he was still sleeping and how Mother Yashoda was meditating about him while singing a wonderful song. Suddenly, Sri Krishna, the ocean of eternal delight, woke up. He climbed quickly down from this bed and he was crying. Ma! Ma! He stretched his body. He took long breaths and rubbed his sleepy eyes. Now fully awake, he cried once more, Ma! Ma! As he heard in the distance the sound of the churning rod, he went with his small little feet, tottering, that means stumbling, because he's very small, just merely 2 years old, to his mother. And as Lord Krishna saw Mother Yashoda working hard to produce the butter from the yogurt, he felt, my mother should give me full attention, not yogurt. So he stopped the rod from churning with his hands. As Mother Yashoda saw this, she wondered, my boy is so clever, and also he's so much desirous to get my affection. And her motherly affection searched more. She saw her little boy and spontaneously took him to her lap and breastfed him. Mother Yashoda is as gracious and splendorous as the rainy season. Her breasts began to shower streams of milk that resembled a continuous downpour of nectar, and Sri Krishna, like a Chataka bird, fittingly and full of happiness, began to drink that downpour. We all know the Chataka bird only lives from the waters from the cloud. In the same way, Krishna only lived from Mother Yashoda's affection. So with great eagerness, Krishna drank the milk of his blessed mother. He had only half satisfied his hunger when Mother Yashoda noticed that the milk in the next room was boiling over. Although Krishna wanted clearly to drink more, she put him down and hastened to save the milk which was overflowing. She did not carry him as she ran, fearing that he might fall. I have seen this in our Gaura Bhavan. When the milk starts to boil over, Madhusudan, our cook, leaves everything behind. His spoons, when he eats, his own plate, and he just runs up to save the milk. I think it's very, very clear, because we know when milk is running over, it's wasted, it's so precious. And also when it's boiling over, it produces a real aggressive smell. So Mother Yashoda just ran over and she hastened. You know, she was in a hurry, so she thought, better I don't take Krishna, he might fall. At this moment, the brother of the bard, Sniktakanta, who was telling this pastime, interrupted him and said, stop, 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 stop. What are you saying, my brother? That is completely illogical. How could it be that Mother Yashoda left her starving baby to go somewhere else? She is the best ideal of all mothers in the universe. Snigdha Kanta laughed. That was a good point. And he said, my brother, elderly brother, bhai, just wait and listen to me attentively. In reality, her leaving her child and saving the milk was just another aspect of her tremendous motherly affection. But Madhukanta was skeptical and says, how? I really want to see that. Snigdha Kanta continued. In the absence of Sri Krishna, the residents of Braj see that their bodies, homes and other possessions are more or less waning. From the day he was born, his parents, Nanda and Yashoda, and everyone else served Sri Krishna with a feeling that my Lord, this child, Krishna, is ours. If Sri Brahma says this in the Bhagavatam, how they felt that this Krishna is ours. He said, O Sri Krishna, the residents of Braj have completely offered their homes, their wealth, their relatives, their beloveds, even their soul, their own bodies, their children, their very lives, and their entire minds, everything they have given at your lotus feet, Sri Krishna. How, in all fairness, could you not award them a result superior to what you gave Putana and the other demons? So what can be said of the love that Sri Krishna's own mother and father have for him, if already the residents have totally surrendered to Krishna? So all of the Brajvasis' rich milk and yogurt, as well as their bodies, their homes, their possessions, are exclusively dedicated for the service of Sri Krishna. Thus, it is befitting that when they serve Sri Krishna, they can have more attachment for the objects used to serve Sri Krishna than for Sri Krishna himself. Because, see, everything, also the milk, is not for their sense gratification. It is for Krishna's satisfaction. So they want not only to be attached to Krishna like that, oh, we love Krishna, they are attached to Krishna's satisfaction. And that's why the objects which wish the satisfaction of Krishna is obtained is sometimes more dear than for them than Krishna himself. Of course, Krishna at the center, but Krishna's satisfaction is more dear to them than Krishna. And therefore, they are very much taking care of the milk in this instance. Thus, it should be understood that Mother Yashoda's intention in leaving Krishna to save the milk was most exalted. It was not neglectful of Krishna. This has been sanctioned in the scriptures that advocate bhakti. The import here, or meaning here, is that it is appropriate for Mother Yashoda to have more attachment for the things that are dear to Krishna than for Sri Krishna himself. Indeed, this is the eternal nature of an affectionate mother. I think it is very important that Jiva Goswami stops his narration to make this point. It means for all of us in this world that we should be attached to our service for Krishna. This service for Krishna should be something which we defend. The service for Krishna should be something we hold onto. The service for Krishna should be something which we hold most dear, because, see, with this service which we do for Krishna, He is becoming pleased. Devotional service is not about our own pleasure, our own satisfaction. Krishna is not for our own pleasure or our own satisfaction. No, we want to give pleasure to Krishna. And by the way, Krishna can only be obtained by bhakti, not without bhakti. Only the residents of Braj know what is involved in expressing this type of affection. Even when they chastise Sri Krishna and punish him, they are just taking care of him to save him from from making mistakes which pain him. So this parents' chastisement is considered a part of loving and raising their children. There is no limit to what they can say when they want to show their affection. When the devotees in Braj feel they need to correct Krishna in order to save him or to help him for his future growth, then Lord Krishna accepts this as an increased sign of their love. So, the evidence for the above statement is that both Mother Yashoda and her son benefit each other by their mutual love. Listen as I will describe now their very affectionate dealings. When Mother Yashoda went to take the milk off the stove for the pleasure of her son, she first comforted him, saying, "My darling son, may all your problems and difficulties come to me. Watch this pot of yogurt for just a minute while I check on the boiling milk. I will quickly return. I'm just now coming." Ah! Just as swiftly as she put her son aside and left that churning place, she returned. Even in that time, milk of love poured from her breasts out of her deep motherly affection, wetting her blouse. It poured so much that it made the entire floor slippery. Still, Sri Krishna's wishes had been checked, and he was most perturbed. In anger, he bit his trembling reddish lips and burst into tears. Then, picking up a small grinding stone, it is said, it was so small that it was considered the son of a stone, very small, which was lying nearby. He broke the pot of the half-churned yogurt. However, he couldn't get the slightest bit of butter from it. It was not yet ready. The poets have described his beauty at that time. Little Krishna's white teeth, a series of moons enveloped by the reddish hue reflecting from his lips. His two eyes, resembling restless birds, were full of tears. And his lotus hands shone, they were shining as he vigorously took the yogurt and threw it here and there, because there was no butter in it. No? he wanted butter. In this way, when the half-churned yogurt from the pot covered the entire floor, it was white, another type of festival manifested. Just then, as he has made a perfect mess on the floor, his little eyes, which were darting back and forth, caught sight of a pot of fresh butter hanging from the ceiling in the nearby room. He ran to the door, slid the latch aside, and pushed it open. Then, moving the door stopper back into place, he slipped into the room and closed the door behind him. He used a nearby cot as a step, lowered the pot of butter and started to eat it. Thereafter, he took the remaining butter, which he couldn't eat, and secretly sneaked out through the window of that room. So, a question arises here. Krishna was angry, so much so that he broke the pot of yogurt from which Mother Yashoda intended to make butter for him. Then he saw butter in a nearby room, entered the room, closed the door like it was before, and went out of the window. This is perfect thievery, you know. So Krishna is angry at a thief. Is he just playing this? I mean, after all, God shouldn't be angry, and he shouldn't be a thief. Is this just something that he pretends to be, just to create some drama here? My dear devotees, it would be false if you understand Krishna to be pretending in his pastimes. No, he gives himself into the pastimes with abandon, and he forgets his being God while he plays, while he's angry and thieves. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of a bee which enters into a lotus flower and forgets everything else. In the same way, Krishna enters into his pastimes and forgets everything else to relish the pastimes. He becomes Mukdata, something like this. I'm not sure if this is the right Sanskrit, but something with Muk. He is becoming forgetful of his being God. The lotus closes over him, like it closes over a bee. And he's just there, a small boy, angry that his mother took him put him down, and now ready to do something to upset his mother, to steal butter, and to do it in a perfect way that no one can easily catch him. Let us hear in our next installment what happens now to the supreme thief. What is unfolding in this pastime? After all, we hear he gets captured by love.